Well, if you can turn over to Ephesians 3:14, we're going to pick up in the series that we had on love, being rooted and grounded in love. And if you didn't hear the other messages, they're all available on our website, and I encourage you, these build on one another, so we've already covered quite a bit of ground, and we're going to pick up where we left off. We'll review a little bit. But Ephesians 3:14, this has been our text that we've started on. Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And we've entitled the series, Rooted and Grounded in Love. Verse 17 says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Rooted and grounded in love. Do you think love is a big deal with God? Yes, He is love. And this, as we've covered in the past, love, walking in love, letting the love of God flow through you, being rooted and grounded in His love is so important. And we covered some of these things, being built up in His love. In other words, love has got to be your foundation. And what your position with the Lord has got to be your foundation. If you try to build on any other foundation, it will falter. It may look good for a while, but it's not going to take you to the end of your journey strong the way the Lord wants us to. I want to go through this life, through my journey here, through my race here, and finish strong. How about you? I don't want something that's going to look good for a few decades, looks like I'm doing pretty well, but then it implodes. Or, you know, my family, or my finances, or my health. I don't want that. I want God's way of doing things, right? Amen. His foundation, your foundation has to be in Him. And there's a lot of things that look like it, sort of sound like God, but they're counterfeit in this earth. There's principles in the Word of God that even if the world puts them in practice, they're going to get some results. But if they're not based on Him and come back to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, they're a counterfeit. And a lot of things, so-called self-help or success or whatever, yeah, people say some things, and it sounds good, and it sounds like God to a degree because they're godly things, but they're not based in God. You can have all kinds of sayings that are, they sound like, they're talking about being successful or having a positive attitude or, you know, just finding the good in life and whatever. And they sound kind of good and kind of like that. To be a good person, but they don't have anything to do with the Lord. They're not founded in Him. And if we're not actually founded in Him, if it's a foundation that's somewhere else or in human strength or human understanding, it will fall. It'll break down. So you can have the real deal. Based your life on your relationship with the Lord Jesus, who you are in God because of Jesus. And it's not something, your life is not something that you're doing then to try to attain something or to try to be a good person. It is a complete outflow of His life in you. You're founded in Him, you're completely settled in Him, and then you live out inward to outward, And it is actually the life of God and the love of God that exudes from you and that helps you do the things you do. That's a different thing than somebody coming at it kind of from a behavior or, yeah, you should do this to be a good person or get along with your fellow man. Those things sound right, but if they're not grounded in the Lord, why would you want to get along with your fellow man? Well, because that's the right thing to do. See, if you don't, where does it go back to? Because you know God, and God has ordained that we walk in love, particularly with other Christians. But it's just going to exude to all men because you're so caught up in Him and you love Him and He's done all this for you that it just, you can't help it. It just comes out of you. You're not trying to work anything up. It just comes out because that's who you are. Why? Because you're hooked up to the source. This is different. And so we've covered some of that. Just being founded and rooted in Him. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. God is so faithful. He's so good. He's such a good God. You ought to just tell yourself that. You're walking around the house. Just tell you, oh, God is good. He is faithful to me. He is such a good God. It's so good to be in His family. You let those things come out, you hear it. It does something for you to hear yourself say it. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Verse 12 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Let's look on your sheet there. Verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. Does that give you a picture? I like the way it's said there. It says, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. Let's look at... let's just look at this scripture too, and we'll talk about these two. Philippians 1:9, just look at it on your sheet. Philippians 1:9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now look at that, verse 9 in the New Living Translation again. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. You see that word overflow? That our love would overflow. So your love has got to be, you have to know who you are in Christ to begin with. You have to know that He loves you first. But like it said in verse 12, if you look at the New Living Translation of 1 Thessalonians, it says that your love, that the Lord will make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. See, when we know what God has done for us, We know who we are in Christ. We know that the love of God, we're rooted and grounded in that, established in that. Now, it can come out of you and overflow to those around you. And that's what it's supposed to do. You can see that from these two verses. You know, Paul is saying that that's our prayer for you, that your love just grows. Can your love grow? Yes, it can. That you can be walking in more love a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now than you are today. That your life, your family life can be better. You say, I'm doing pretty well, but it can be better. Does anybody in here think they've absolutely reached the top and it can't get any better? You may think it can't get any better, but I found it just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting... I wouldn't want to go back, would you? No. I mean, for me, I look back... You know, we were just talking yesterday about some things, and, you know, we've been married for a little over 15 years, but we were talking about something that happened 16 years ago. In fact, we were eating in a restaurant saying, you remember when we were eating at this one restaurant and there was other things going on in our life? We were just dating or just getting to know each other. And I said, I wouldn't want to go back. This is way better. I don't want to go back there. I'm so thankful we're here. And we can just keep getting just more in the love of God. The more you get to know God, the better it gets. And the more, no matter how far we have come, no matter what we've actually been able to implement in our life, we haven't arrived, and we can get higher. And the more your love can grow. And if your love grows, your love, we said God is love. So if your love grows, that means your understanding and your being able to flow with God is growing. This is really the mark of spirituality, is your love walk. Did you know it? It's not walking in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not how well you can sing or play or even what you do on your job. It is your how you let the love of God shine through you. Now, we could get into some of those things. Over in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that. In chapter 13, it says, well, why don't you just turn over there? Let's just turn over there really quick. 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Y'all there? It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He's addressing the Corinthians here, and they had some issues going on. We'll look at that real quick. But he said, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Now, these Corinthians, they were walking carnally in a number of ways. And you could just if you want to go back, and we're not going to take time to do it now. But if you were to go back and read in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, you see how basically they were going around. In verse chapter 3, they're saying, well, I'm a this person, I'm this person, and you have that today. Well, I follow so-and-so's ministry, they have it all together. I follow so-and-so's, they have it all together. You see that today. We should be hooked up with people, and we thank God for the people we're hooked up with, and that's a godly thing. God will hook you up with certain companies, and we're thankful for that. But some people are saying that's all there is. Our company, we have it all together, and they look to a man, and that's not godly. And it's not new. That's exactly what they're doing here. Just look at 1 Corinthians 3 real quick, and we'll come back to 13. We'll just touch on this real quick. This is not where I'm going today, but hey, we'll touch on it real quick. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal or natural, as to babes in Christ." He said, I can't give you the heavy stuff because you're acting like babies. Verse 2, he said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food." Isn't that what you do to an infant? You know, you can't feed them solid food. You can't feed them till, you know, with us it was 4 months. Now I guess it's like 6 months. It changes, you know, but today it's, anyway, you don't start out a baby giving them solid food, and you certainly don't give them steak or anything like that for a long time. You got to be older. Well, that's what he's saying to these guys. He's like, "I had to dumb it down for you because you're just acting like a bunch of little kids, little babies." He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal or natural. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Verse 5, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one?" Verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." So he's saying, "You guys, you're a bunch of babies. You're divided, you're arguing, you're in strife." See, that right there, we're going to get to it, but that's not love. And what does he say about these people? "You're immature. You're not walking in love. You're a bunch of babies." And then he goes right along. They're like saying, "Well, I follow this ministry. You know, Paul, he's got it. That is it." Other guy's saying, no, Apollos. And Paul's saying, "You're all wrong. You know, you may have learned some things from Apollos, or he brought you in, and, you know, somebody else watered, whatever, but it's God who gives increase. It comes back to the Lord." We thank God for men that serve God and what we've gotten through ministries, but you don't glorify them. We thank God, we honor them. But people that get all, you know, puffed up about it, that's just being a baby. And if you've been around any time at all, you see it changes. You know, people are saying it's this person, then they say it's that person. You know, we all should just thank God for what comes forth through certain ministries, learn what we can, and glorify God. And you can honor men. Thank God for men that have put God first and gotten messages out. Thank God for it. But to say, go to somebody and say, "Well, you don't know anything. After all, you just know that person. I know this person." Anybody that does that, you can say right away, and if we're doing it, we can say right away, "Wait a minute, I'm acting like a baby. I'm acting like a child." Because if you walk with God and know God, anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but just suffice to say that's not mature behavior, okay? But he's saying this is just carnality. He said in verse 3, "For where there are envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And then let's go back over to chapter 13. We are talking, we haven't digressed off our subject. This goes right along with it. We're talking about letting the love of God overflow. Well, you're not letting the love of God overflow if you're getting mad at everybody. "Well, I'm not going to be around you. After all, you believe that, and I just don't like you, and we're better." Okay. Well, that's not the love of God. I'm not saying you fellowship with everybody and everything, and we have our own company. But We ought not hold up our nose either. That's not being mature. That's being a baby. But if you've been around, you can see a lot of people that are actually think they're far in the things of God, and they think they know some things, but look at their love walk, and you will see, by the Bible standard, they're actually a little baby. They think, "Well, I know this, and I know that, and I think I'm all spiritual." And it's a deception, because by the Bible standards, it's actually acting like an infant. Can't even give you solid food because You're still thinking it's all about this other stuff. And some things that are actually thought to be spiritual in the body of Christ, the Bible doesn't say they're spiritual. The Bible has a standard of walking in love, and because God is love. So the more you act like God, you're the more spiritual you are. I mean, that's not that hard to understand, right? If you're acting like God, if a measure of spirituality would be being conformed in the image of Jesus Christ and acting like the Lord, and He is love, then it totally follows that walking in love is the measure of spirituality. It is not any of these things that men look at so often. Now, this will set some people free, because some people are looking to these other things and measuring. Some of you even may think you're less spiritual than you actually are, because you think you've maybe heard some things and the definition of spirituality, and these people that tout all these other things and then saying they're spiritual, and actually that's not spiritual, and you may have even bought it and think, well, I have a great home life and I get along with everybody, and I'm actually, if you were to say it, you're walking in love, you're doing excellent on the job, your children are doing well, but I'm not all that spiritual. So I've heard people say that. And actually, they're very spiritual. Actually, they're very much spiritual and acting like the Lord. And yet they think they're not because, well, I'm not doing all these other things. Let's look at chapter 13. Verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. But so if I speak and the gifts of the Spirit are going through me, working through me, but I'm not doing it in love, he says, I've become nothing. I'm just noise. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Some people think it's all about faith. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But that's not what the Word says here. It says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Those are very strong words. And now you just covered about almost everything that people think is spiritual falls into one of these categories. You know, you're going to take a vow of poverty, and people are misguided, think if they're poor and they're doing all these things for people, that's real spiritual. Well, only if it's motivated by love. There's a lot of people doing a lot of that stuff, and it's not actually motivated by love. It's actually trying to earn themselves something. So actually, it's selfish. Because you're trying to get your place secure, and it may look good to the outside, but God looks on the heart. And he says, if you give all your goods to the poor, and you give your body to be burned, you're a martyr. Surely that's worth something. He said, unless you did it in love, it's nothing. That is very strong. But it goes against religious teaching. And if you have all faith, people would say, oh, that person is walking in such power. Ooh, when they preach and they the miracles. The Bible says, unless you do it in love, nothing. There's an example. I mean, there's many examples, but you look back. There's one gentleman I'm thinking of. Won't put it to say his name, but he had a huge healing ministry back in the healing revival earlier in the 19th century. But he was mean, and he didn't take care of his body at all. And a number of things, and he was young. He was like in his 30s, but had just miraculous things happen in his ministry. And if you were to judge by that, you say, this is the most spiritual guy. I mean, step out, bold, strong. I mean, things happen. Huge tent in those days. You know, they had tent. And he was warned. If he didn't judge himself by the way he was treating his fellow men and the way he was taking care of his body, and I think there was a money thing too, I can't remember for sure, he was going to die. And he did not do it. And he went to go, like, just a few years later, I believe in his 30s, he died. Now, people would say from the outside, ignorant people, look, this guy's preaching divine healing, seeing all these people healed. Look, he died. What is that? That just proves it's not true. That doesn't prove any such thing. The word of God is still true. That man did not judge himself. He was able to walk in these big things, and he had faith. He believed God, but it just says it right here in what we just read. Unless you're doing it with love, it's nothing. He said, if you had faith to remove mountains. Which is essentially, you don't ever judge things by the external. No, we have to, the mark of spirituality is walking in love and walking the way God would walk. And that comes from knowing Him and being grounded. See, you don't have to prove anything when you are secure in the Lord and your place in the family. You can't let other people judge you. Well, do you know you preach this power? No, you just need to be secure in who you are in Him. Unspiritual people, babes, talk about this other stuff as if it's, you know, something to be bought or sold or well, this person's really walking the power. You talk like that, you don't. It's very unspiritual to talk like that. It shows you up right now that you're ignorant of some things, because the Bible right here says that's not spiritual. If they're walking in something, it's because the Lord has anointed them some way or another to walk in it. It's not them. So what, we can't go and say, well, this person, and I'm following this person, therefore, basically, they're implying, so I'm something. Because after all, that's the ministry I follow. And look, that's carnal. That's a baby mentality. That's like, well, it's like, never mind. But it's an immaturity, right? Well, I know such and such, right? Therefore, I'm something. And with the things of God, if God has anointed somebody to do something, and well, I think that's real spiritual and I want to get in on it, that's not spiritual. It's actually carnal. A spiritual person is going to walk in love. A spiritual person's going to walk like the Lord. And anything they do is going to be motivated by love, not by selfishness. In other words, they're actually going to do it because they're doing it because the Lord wants them to do it and because it's what love would do, and so they're doing it unselfishly. And there is true reward, and God does honor that. So all these things in this list that we just read, prophecy, faith, none of those things are bad in and of themselves at all. They're good. But you know as well as I do, I mean, certain things can become really, if they're not done in the right spirit, you could do the right thing and it come off totally wrong because it's done in the wrong spirit. Do you know what I mean? Somebody is acting like they're doing you a favor, but you know their motivation's completely wrong and you're like, just don't even waste your time, right? We know that in the natural. Well, if people are saying, well, I'm going to do all this stuff and I'm doing all of it, they could say for God or whatever, but, you know, unless it's motivated by love, God looks on the heart. He looks on our heart, and He is not fooled. Men can be fooled, but the Lord can't. He is not fooled, and I will say this, it will always show up sooner or later. You know, just like we talked about this gentleman, it didn't take long to show up. And it was catastrophic when it did. But the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. You do what God tells you to do, and you do it the right way, nobody's recognizing what you're doing, keep on doing it. Do the right thing. Walk in love. God sees you. God sees your heart. Hallelujah. Well, let's come back here on our sheet. And so love is the mark of spirituality. And let's read a couple of these verses again. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. In the New Living Translation, let's look at that. Make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. You know it's supposed to be all motivated right here by love. And can you see it? It's just like a waterfall, like a fountain. The love of God is the source. God so loved the world that he gave. And you know, certain people, like Paul is using himself as an example, he knows that and is established. And so he loves these people right here. You know, that he's writing the letter to, and he says, our love is overflowing for you. And he says, my prayer is that your love overflows in that same way. Do you see that? And so your love, you know who you are and get established in who you are in the Lord. And those around you, for instance, your family, now they start to receive the benefits of that overflow, and they are secure in that love. They feel the benefits of that overflow of love, and their love starts to overflow into others. This is how the gospel is to be spread. For God so loved the world. Do you know it? The love of God just pouring out of us, just overflowing. I love that word. That's such a good illustrative word of what we're talking about. It overflows. When something's overflowing, so many people are trying to generate something. Well, I'm going to walk in love. Darn it, this week, 2015, walking in love with my spouse. That's it. Good luck, buddy. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes or whatever. It's not going to work. You can't do that. It's like if you were pouring a pitcher into a glass, though, and like, you know, the glass, like, I'm going to overflow. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get to the top. No, when the pitcher's pouring in the glass has no choice. It's going to overflow. It's going to run all over unless you stop, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Get so grounded and just full of his love, you can't help it. It's where you are. It's just got to overflow to your family, to your loved ones around you, to the church family. Our heart for this place is just to be an oasis of love here and just to grow like that, that you come here, you are built up, girded up to go out and run the race. That's the way it ought to be. Look on your sheet there. We'll come back up, but further down, I believe I have it on here. Yeah, John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give to you. This is Jesus. That you love one another as I have loved you. See? He said, I've loved you. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. You cannot do that in the natural. There is no way you can do that. As Jesus loved you, you're going to love somebody else like Jesus. Good luck with that on your own. No, the only way you can do that is with the Spirit of the living God in you, the love of God being poured out in your heart like we talked about before, Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out in our heart so that it just gets, it pours, it overflows, and it's going to spill out into other people. He said that you, but he says, I give you a command that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now look at this. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Did it say there, by the signs and wonders, all will know that you're my disciples? By your great faith, all will know that you're my disciples. He didn't say that. He said, by your love. Now, am I knocking any of those things? Of course not. We believe in all those things. We want them. But they don't take the place of walking in love. Yeah, well, I'm really spiritual. I'm doing all this, but my family's a wreck. That's not good. I walk in all these things, and I'm just so super spiritual, but I cannot get along with my wife. That's not good. It's not spiritual. It's carnal. It's natural. We want to be so full of the love of God, it's just pouring in us, that it pours out of us, and then people say, that's a Christian. Why? Because look at the way they treat each other. Look at that. How do they do that? I've tried that. Some people say that's all fake. It's not fake. It's not fake. It is so far out of whack with the world that it looks like people say there is no way. There's no way it's that good. No way. That's fake. Is this not true? People are waiting for people to fall and say, you're a fake, and it's going to come out. That's because they don't know how to, they can't see how to do it, so they're saying, I don't know how you're doing it. But you're putting on a show somehow. And it's all going to come apart. You watch, because I don't know how you could do that for real. So in their knowledge, it's got to be fake. But that's beyond their knowledge. And it's supernatural. You want supernatural? People think when they say supernatural, they're thinking of signs and wonders. And that is supernatural. Fine. But you want to see supernatural? You want to see the supernatural love of God in your family so that you walk in such harmony? You walk in love on the job. People are getting all over everything, and you're just calm, cool, and collected, going, it'll be okay. And you won't say this maybe, but God loves me. It'll be okay. This will all be all right. Everything is rattling at work, and everything is looking unsettled, and you're like, it'll be good. And they're looking at, how can you be like that? Because you know who your source is. You know who God is. You don't have to say all that. But they're looking at you and going, something, you just acting? I mean, that's not normal. Because they know how stressed out they are. That's supernatural. All this stuff going on in the world gets you stressed out real quick if you focus on the wrong things. I mean, there are so much going on in different parts of the world, in the U.S. and just changes and all that, you can get depressed looking at it. But we're not supposed to be depressed. We're supposed to be full. Know that, wait a minute, we sang about it earlier. I trust you. Because I know you love me. Because I know you love me. I will always trust in you. Wait a minute. Yeah, the world, the people are talking about all this stuff coming down, but wait. For some of that stuff they're talking about happening, that would mean certain things would happen to me, and that's not going to happen because God loves me, so I reject it. It's going to be okay. That's supernatural. That's not normal. And you're not just drumming something up, you know, trying to be positive, but inside you're shaking. No, it's real. It's like from the inside out, you're just, no, God loves me, and it's going to be okay, and it just overflows and pours out to everybody around us. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be. Let's go back up to Philippians 1 on your sheet. He said that your love may abound still more and more. In the New Living Translation, your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So this isn't supposed to be just when you hit the overflow stage, that's it. You're supposed to actually grow in that. In other words, right now, if you're not overflowing, we want to get to where we're just overflowing. And once we're overflowing, you know, if it's a gallon per minute, we want to hit 3 gallons per minute. And then we want to hit 10 gallons per minute. And then 50. And then 100. And it just keeps going. Well, I'm already overflowing. I'm good. No, we just keep going to where we are such a conduit for the love of God that it just more and more and more. That's a good goal for 2015, just to be coming up in that area. Amen? In fact, this is. I mean, we're still at the beginning of the year. If you think about it, if walking in love and you walking like the Lord is a mark of your spirituality being conformed to His image, what better goal is there than that you endeavor in your life, in your family, on your job, in your church, I'm going to walk in love more than ever. I'm coming up in love. I'm going to treat people better than I ever have before. Now, I know you have some more concrete goals on certain things, but to be conscious of that is my point. You know, I'm not going to bite my sibling's head off or say things that I know is going to get them riled up. I'm going to do that less. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to be conscious of the fact that when I say certain things that I know will get under my spouse's skin, I'm going to be very conscious. I'm going to do that less. That is actually coming up in spirituality. We can talk how spiritual and how much we're walking in love, but the mark of it would be, if you want to get results oriented, the mark of it would be arguments per week or per month or per day or however, you know, per hour or whatever. When you look at 2 months from now, you actually have less arguments per week than you did before. That's really when you're actually changing, right? You can talk about, well, I'm walking in love, but actually I have more arguments than ever. Well, something's wrong with the metrics then, right? I'm playing with it. But if I actually look back and I say, my goal is 2015, I mean, one of our goals could be, I want to look back and it's less than ever. Man, I get in a heated disagreement with my spouse less than ever. You young people, you could make it your goal to actually get along with your siblings better than ever. And that's an awesome goal. In other words, think about this. Even you young people and older folks as well. When you hold your tongue and don't say something that you could say, but you know if you say it, there will be an argument. By you holding your tongue, you are actually showing how spiritual you are. That is actually spiritual. Now, your flesh does not care at that point and does not want to be spiritual. Your flesh wants the results of tearing into the other person or just punching or just needling or whatever type of comment it is, right? But if you'll realize, no, I'm going to let the love of God dominate me right now, and as much as I want to say that, I'm just going to overlook that stupid thing you just said and not say anything, because I'm coming up. I'm going to be more spiritual this year, and you may not know it, but I'm just letting it go, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to let it go right now. Yes. That's spiritual. That's coming up. That's exercising. Well, that's how it actually looks in reality. We can talk about it. We can say, oh, my love's going to overflow. Well, this is what it looks like. All of a sudden, I'm not saying things I used to. And guess what? The ensuing argument didn't happen. It didn't happen because I held my tongue. And if both people are doing that, hey, I held my tongue and then I said something stupid, but I didn't know I said it. But my spouse is holding their tongue. Now we got both people working at it. All of a sudden, all these arguments that would have happened didn't. Younger people, with your parents, with your siblings, if you stop saying things or stop making those little comments that you know, and we all know what we're talking about because we're all young ones and we know we probably still do it, but you know, kids, they'll say something that they know the other person is going to get irritated about, and then they'll act like, what? I didn't say anything. What did I say? As if parents don't have any clue. were never there, never did that to their brother or sister or a close friend, and don't have any clue of what I was just commenting. I mean, I didn't mean anything. Yeah, okay. If we cut down on the commenting, guess what? All of a sudden, not as many arguments. Guess what? If there's not as many arguments, kids or parents don't have to correct the kids. Now there's harmony in the home. I mean, it all goes together. Now there's harmony in the home more. Now you're not biting somebody's head off at work because of what's going on at home. Or somebody, you know, in the next lane or whatever. And you come to church. Somebody rubs you the wrong way. And yes, that does happen. You got people in here. Yes. Not a bunch of completely sanctified people here. It's still humans. People are going to say stuff or do stuff that you may think they shouldn't. But if you hold your tongue, if you get along, if you choose to walk in love, then that's one less incident. I'm not saying we have a lot of incidents here. We don't. Thank God. But we can come up. And as more people come, you come and you get along with people, that spreads because now there's more love. And it just lets the love of God and the Spirit of God move like He needs to everywhere around you. This is exactly what the Lord is talking about. He said, I want you, here's the new commandment. I want you to love like I did, like I love you. And you just spread it. You just do it. See, we're not talking about, this sounds so, on the surface, this sounds like what the world says. Peace on earth. Let's just get everybody to live peaceably with their fellow man. It's not the same thing, though, because the root of it, the foundation, is God, who is love. If somebody isn't on that foundation, they cannot love like He does because they don't have His Spirit. And so it may look good, it may sound good. I'm not saying there isn't some good things there, but it's not connected to the Creator. And if the creation isn't connected to the Creator, it is not going to be true, genuine love. It's a counterfeit. And deep down, it's not motivated by God. Therefore, it's not the same thing. And it will come out somewhere. The reality of it being different will come out. But thank God we can walk after this. We can come up this year. And just make it our goal that I am continually growing in love. I'm going to be just my goal, and we could go over it, but you just read that passage in 1 Corinthians like we have. You go over those scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. You just go over those things and look at it. Say, I'm going to come up in these areas. God, you're just helping me. And I expect to grow. And I expect not just like, oh, okay, messed up there. Bad mark, bad mark, bad. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do better, but no, God, you're helping me. I'm believing you. As I just get stronger in you, this is going to overflow. And there, yeah, I didn't maybe do the best, but I'm going to do better next time and just come up. Hallelujah. Can we be standing here and sitting here next year and we're just further in love? We look back to the beginning of 2015 and we say, man, it is so much richer now in 2016 than before. Can that happen? Well, it starts right now. Right now. Because we all have the love of God in our hearts. We've read that. Romans 5:5 says the love of God's been poured out. We talked about how the Spirit of God is helping us to do it. Spirit of God is going to help us to walk in love. So we're not in on our own, but we just have to. Our part is our will. We have to say, I will do that. I want to do that. God, help me to do that. I'm going to make that change. I'm going to take a step, a tangible step. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to stop doing that. That's just, and God, you're going to help me. And I'm going to come up. And it's going to be greater than it has before. Yeah. Amen.